that God showed me that I wanted to see again, but he kept pressing me back to 10. Let's go back to 10. I wanted to do 12 and 13 and then move on from there, but let's just go ahead and jump into 10. It says, "For we must all appear." Do y'all see that? "For we must all appear. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." Underline that right there, please. Just underline that right there. And Paul's not putting this in there. When you read that, it's not a terror like you're walking around like a scared death of God, but it's a remembrance of who God, the judgment of God, but after you're saved, the reverence of God. Okay? Do y'all get that? We're dealing with God still. This is the same God that put the barriers down and said, "Do not cross this or we'll strike." Well, you get in my presence with unrighteousness, and I have to break forth on you. Remember when I preached that here about breaking forth, right? About Mount Sinai, when Moses was meeting with him, and he put borders up, and he says, he told him more than multiple times, he said, "If you come across this border and you try to get into my presence with unrighteousness, I have no choice but break forth on you and judge you." Okay? So remember that. That's the kind of reverence he's talking about. So knowing therefore, let's take this thought right here. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So listen, I want you to know, to give an account for what's good or what's bad, all right? Now listen, you can't be punished, you can't be sent to hell, but you will be judged. And I believe there are a lot of things in this life that God has given us time and the ability to do, and I believe we're going to get judged for the things, not for sin, because if we get judged for sin, that's separation from God. But we will get judged for the opportunities, times, and things that we've had opportunity to do as believers and we didn't do. I believe that's one of the biggest things. And God's going to say, "Look, you got sidetracked, you got overwhelmed, you got into certain other things that were not of me, but you're going to have to give an account for that," right? And some stuff is just petty. Right, okay. Hey man, preacher, petty. All right, good or bad though, and you know we're gonna the bad stuff's gonna go away, and ain't gonna have anything to do with that. But the good will remain. Knowing that, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we are persuaded men. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. What he's saying right here, he's like, we do this. Because we're reverencing God, that's why I'm living my life in front of you. I'm living my temporary life because I'm going to live my eternal life with God. He is a terror. He is a reverent God. So therefore, that's one reason I'm going to serve God, because I understand and I reverence who He is. And it doesn't matter who I come in contact with. The force, I hope I don't get too complicated. The office, the title, the power of this earth doesn't matter when it's compared to God. Does that make sense? If He brings you to a ministry or brings you to something to do, it doesn't matter, and I can only compare this when you read it, is to Paul. Paul stood before kings after king after king and magistrates and people who had big offices and big rooms and robes and very big groups of people who were judging him. But you know what? His reverence came from God. Sometimes we can get in the presence of people and they can overwhelm you. I tell you that all the time. We can get in the presence of people and they can look better than us as Christians sometimes. They can dress in a certain way and you think, man, that's a politician or that's a... Man, you're a child of God, right? You got to remember that. And you got to remember God sent you, all right? God sent you. And he's for you. So you got to reverence that. It's one reason. One big reason we serve God is because we reverence Him. Verse 12, "For we commend..." I love this right here. I want to teach this right here so bad. "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give occasion to glory on our behalf." He said, you can be proud of us right here. That's what he's saying. He said, "For one time you can be proud of me." He was talking about the people at the church at Corinth. That ye might have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. He said, finally, I'm going to come to you and I'm not going to act a fool. Man, I wish I could get back and tap in. Like when I was young, not in faith, I mean young, my dad got saved when he was 36. My dad was a rough, tough sports player, hunter, I mean just rugged dude, right? He became a weeper, a prayer, a hugger. I mean, I'm one of the most embarrassing moments I ever had in my life. I was a teenage boy. We walked out of the Pizza Hut, and my dad run into this guy who was ministry with him. He goes, "Man, I love you." And he hugged him. He goes, "Man, I love you." I'm sitting there going, "This is so embarrassing. Stop. That's 3 seconds at least. That's not good." Right? I was counting them. I was like, 3 long. This is stop. Right? And my dad's like, "This is brother so-and-so." And I'm like, "I don't care who it is." Yeah, that's how it was. But see, that right there was, he changed. My dad, he would get in the choir at church. And I was sitting in the very back of the church. And my dad, I'd see him, that hand would go up. I'm like, "Oh, man, my dad's going to lose it." Next thing you know, he'd go to crying and shouting, and I'm like, "Goodness gracious, he's gone crazy again," right? He would get beside himself. But every once in a while, after he got saved, every once in a while, he would act normal. Oh, come on. Y'all be all right, man. I do this to my kids now, but I'm just saying, I wasn't saved then. But he would say something like, "Hey, we're going to go. I'm going to go catch a high school football game. You want to go with me?" "Yes, if you can behave yourself," right? And seriously, we'd walk in the ballpark, we'd get, you know, something from the concession stand, go stand down by the fence, and we'd hang out, and he would say, "Man, that was a good player. That kid right there is going to be something." And I'm like, "Who are you?" Finally, right? So guess what? He was more in awe and reverence of God than he cared about what I thought about him. And that was okay. It turned out great. And wouldn't it be awesome one day that your kids look back and they go, "My dad or my mom was a little crazy for Jesus, but that's what I love about her." Amen? I've had great opportunity. What are you doing right now? Sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, reading your Bible? Yes, because that's what I do. Right? That's what I do. That's a connection. They connected it. Can you not read anything else? Yes, I can. I have. I choose to sometimes, but this is my go-to, right? Why do you got to get so loud? Why do you got to get so excited? Why do you got to bring Jesus up? Right? Okay. But he explains it, right? It's for the people who look on the outside that we behave ourselves sometimes. The people that don't look at the heart. He said, because I love this. One big reason I came to teach tonight is because he goes, "I'm concerned with the one who worries about my heart. I'm not really, if he lets me behave right, then that's fine." Let me get on to that next verse. I'll show you. Watch. Verse 13. "For whether we be," but I love how Paul explains it, "beside ourselves meant crazy. Whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God." Did y'all get that? Write that down right there. I like that. If somebody says, "Man, you're crazy," or "You done something crazy for God," say, "I was doing that for God." So it really wasn't about you anyway, right? I love that. "Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." Whether we act sober. Golly, that's a good word, ain't it? So get in the holiness area right there. But I'm just saying, here's a person beside themselves acting a fool. He says, that's for God, right? He goes, "If we can act sober, that's for you. That way you can invite somebody to the church and be like, maybe they'll act all right. Maybe they'll come to the house and he won't bust out in Jesus," right? But ain't that neat how Paul put that right there? And all he's talking about is believing behavior. That's all he's talking about is, I'm hooked up with Jesus. Now, if he allows me to act like somebody, I'm going to act like somebody. But if he wants me to get beside myself, I'll get beside myself. And that's okay. Man, I'm more ashamed now. I'm sorry. I'm just going to ramble a little bit right here. I'm more ashamed of myself now in 2020 than I was in 2005, 2006, 2007. Because in 2007, I was more apt to let God just do whatever he wanted to with me. But sometimes now, and I'm in different places, at different churches, even here, I feel God pull me one way, and I'm like, and I'll say, "God, if I do that, then I'm not going to be able to perform here. God's like, well, okay, great. You know, it could have been me and you, but it's going to be whatever you want to do, you know. God ain't mad at me, and he's not upset. But I can pull the reins back. And sometimes pulling reins back gets to a place where I'm feel more distance from God. And y'all are looking at me kind of like, well, that's our pastor. I dare to say, if we do a little self-examination right here, some of y'all got your hands on the rein pretty well too, right? Some of us used to lose control a little bit easier. Now we're, God, I don't want to. They might think, or they might. We might not get out of here by 12 if I, right? And they have never heard me really scream like that. Huh? I've been to some church services before. If the Holy Ghost really gets on somebody, it's a little different sound than normal, right? And everybody kind of goes, what was that? Right? I'm being real. It's Wednesday night. If we can't be real, that's a whole different thing. But it also says to God, it says, we're beside ourselves now. It's you, right? No, anyway. I'm not trying to conjure that up. I'm just trying to preach it the way Paul says it, right? Let's go to 14. For the love of Christ, I love this. Look at it right here. Just look at the word with me. For the love of Christ constraineth us. See that right there? It controls us. Man, ain't that sweet? It's not us. We don't get to choose whether we're going to be beside ourselves or whether we're going to behave. It is God who's in control. He's constraining us, right? Ultimately. Y'all get that? I love constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Man, that's big. That's one of the biggest verses in this whole book right here. The whole book meaning the Bible, but in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, here's another reason we serve God. Not because God is terror, not as God is reverent, but also for the love of God. Man, you might want to make this one of your go-to verses when you start to think you're, when you get on your high horse. Right? You know, when you get on your high horse and you think, I'm good. I'm a good, good person. I'm better than most. What he's saying is, if God died for all, then we were all in the same shape. We were all dead. If Jesus says all, A-L-L, that means it's not a laundry detergent, it's a condition. I just wanted to say laundry detergent because when I was growing up, all was it. Sorry. Just had a moment there. Y'all can tell when I have those. But if one died for all, then we're all dead. He said we constantly, man, God controls us because we realize without Him, then we're all in the same condition. We're all dead, man. I don't just serve God because I'm fearful of Him or reverent for Him. I got this love thing for Him too, right? That why would God die for somebody like me, right? We're kind of moving over into right here. I want y'all to get this. We're kind of adjusting to, and we're moving into reconciliation right here. Y'all get me? Reconciliation. What's reconcile? When you need to reconcile with somebody, that means you've got to make it right. I know everybody in this room has heard this, and it's most of the... I hate saying things like this because people, you remember these, and they come back to me on it, but I'll say it anyway. I hate this saying. I got things right with the man upstairs. You know, I made things right with him up there. You know, don't be mad at the accent. I'm just saying, you don't make things right with God. He made things right with you. Right? You just don't look up there to heaven and say, yeah, God, I recognize you dwell up there and we're good. That ain't it. Recognizing God, the devil recognizes God. You have to believe in Him. And then you have to allow Him to dwell. You have to let Him reconcile. See, the biggest thing right there in reconciliation is you got to realize you and God have an issue. Right? You got to realize God ain't the one with the problem. You are. You're the one with the problem. God is trying to save you. He's trying to reconcile. He's trying to bring you together with Himself, and because you're lost. You're a sinner. You're separated from God, and He's trying to make it right with you. Whew. And I'm glad he tries to make it. He connects with us. He draws us. He attempts to chase us. He pursues us. He does all. Man, I love it. Andrew comes to Peter and John and Jen. We have found the Messiah. Yet just all of a sudden you found him. No. He walks into your life. Right? He makes himself. He comes to you. Right? Oh, we found. Where was the search party? Where were you looking high and low? No, I was going about my normal life, and all of a sudden Jesus walked into it. Right? That's what everybody in this, if you're saved, that's what happened. God met you in your life. And he met you probably in multiple different ways. Right? He probably, one plants, one waters. He probably came through testimony, through song, through the gospel, through preaching and teaching. And eventually you're like, oh my gosh, I've found him. Right? I found Jesus. And Jesus said, I've been standing right in front of you for 25 years. It's all right if the verbiage is wrong, but the heart's right. You understand what I'm saying? If the verbiage is wrong and the heart's right, that's another thing. But we need to get to the place where we understand that reconciliation came from God. God was the one who said, I want to reconcile. God, ain't that so... Could y'all just stay right here with me just because I feel the Holy Ghost right here? It's the person that has all the power or all the... Yeah, let's just say that. With all the power, when they want to reconcile with somebody that has none of the power. You understand what I'm saying? We have nothing. We have nothing to offer. But God comes and says, hey, let's make this right. You have nothing to bring to that other than obedience or yes, you know. That just got me right there where I was, you know, God has every bit of the power there. Let me go here with you. It's the way I see it. This happened to me one time. We went to and I'm not advocating for this, so don't at the end of the night be... Are you advocating? I'm not advocating. We went to a communion and foot washing. And I know, you know, that's good, bad, whatever difference. But the church we went to communion foot washing. Well, I took six of our boys to it, and all five of them sat on the back row and were like, no way, you know. And I was cool with that, right? But the youngest, or what I considered my adopted son, Alberto, went with us, right? He said, I want to do this. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's fine. No pressure, nothing. Well, when it came time to do it, I was one washing his feet. And, I mean, from the very moment my hand touched his foot, God showed me what he'd done for me. The very second. He had nothing. He had no power. He had no control. He had nothing. He was the younger. He was the weaker. I had the home. I had the food. I had the resources. And you know what? He didn't. But you know what he said? He said, I want you to cleanse me. You know, I seen it right there, and I'm like, oh my God, that's me. I got nothing to offer God. But he's saying, remember when, y'all remember this, right? When they were all sitting in the upper room and Jesus got up and he took off his outer garment. And he put on a towel, which is a servant's garment. Literally a type and shadow of what he did in heaven when he stood up out of heaven. He put off his righteousness and put on this flesh. And when he got down and he started washing the feet of every one of his apostles, they were all like, what are you? This is wrong. You know, he came to Peter and Peter said, don't wash me, right? I love what he says. He said, if I don't wash you, you're totally unclean and you're not mine. Then Peter changes his tune real quick and says, oh, wait, wash every bit of me. And Jesus says, now your feet will be fine. Amen? But ain't that it's a neat illustration. But I just want you to see that God does the saving to a person who can't bring anything to that. You know, and that's amazing. That's a lovely, that's a wonderful thing. So when you surrender and melt into that and allow that to happen, whew, that's it right there. Verse 15. And that he died for all, they which live, not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We no longer live our lives for anybody else just because Jesus rose from us, okay? Died for us and rose again. That's our motor. That's our engine, right? That's our motor. That's our engine. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth, know we know him no more. Oh, I was like, what is that? God, what? How does that work? You know, it works like this. From now on, we are spiritual people. We are born again. Jesus became, he left this earth and became in heaven, right? So guess what? We don't know him anymore as physical Jesus. We know him as Heavenly Father, right? Heavenly in heavens, Jesus, right? We got the Holy Spirit in us, okay? So now no longer are we of the physical man. We have the physical man in us, but we also have a spiritual man in us working those things that are good. Now listen, this is key. This is one of the biggest keys when you're teaching somebody who's having questions about whether they've been saved or not. Because a lot of times we want to rubber stamp people with a prayer, but we don't want to ask them, do they have an indwelling Holy Spirit that's helping them draw away from the things that they want to do in their flesh? That's the key. I hope y'all know this. That's the key. I get into a lot of conversations. Is this person saved? This person says they're saved. This person does this. This person does that. Here's what I know. All right, here's what I know. When I got saved, now I said I got saved when I was 13 years old, I never had a problem sinning, ever. I mean, if I came upon a sin, I'd go, here's the only problem I had with it. Will I get caught? Right? And if it mattered what the stakes were, right, if I got caught or not. That was it. What was the worst thing that could happen? Right? Okay, when I got saved and when you got saved, you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The same body, same mind, same sin nature tells you to do the same things, but there's another advocate in there, the Holy Ghost, who says, don't. And it's war. Your physical members and your spiritual man are doing that. That's how I know that I got saved. Is there a conflict going on in here, right? Is if there's conflict, even if you succumb, there's still conflict, right? Because we can be all spiritual in here and be like, no, I don't know. Listen, even when you succumb, then it brings you to shame, guilt, repentance. And then the next time you say, I could listen to that voice, that Holy Spirit, that sweet voice, and I could turn from that. Doesn't it get amazing when you do turn from it? Listen, guys, and if you think it's all just sin, I'm talking about pride. I'm talking about anger. I'm talking about getting the last word. I'm talking about being, like, can I use this word, please? I'll use it. Snarky. Is there any snarky people in here? Smart aleck, is that? That's what my mom would say. You're being smart aleck, right? Things like little sharp words. Okay, anybody in here know somebody who might be passive aggressive? I love passive aggressive people. They say it on the way out the door, right? Like whatever. What? No, nothing. That's sorry. Some of y'all right now, y'all get in trouble. You gotta look straightforward. I don't know nobody like that. God will give you a peace. Don't say it. Talk to me about it. Don't be snarky. Don't be a smart aleck. Don't have to have the last word. Don't have to be prideful. Don't have to be arrogant. Don't have, man, submit. Oh, put your hat in your hand and say, I'm sorry. I've got a bad attitude. No, it's not you. It was me today. Golly, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on right there. Some of y'all could, y'all be like, after this, I'd help, man. That gave me like, man, we're gonna work it out. Ain't that good though? Because look, when you instead of the guilt, shame, and repentance, you get to walk in obedience. And man, ain't that nice? Have y'all ever walked in just straight up obedience? Listen to God, had the war going on, didn't do what you're supposed to do. Let on into that, man, about 2 weeks later, you're like, man, I walked right through that. I want to do that again. I'm serious. That builds upon itself. Y'all ready? Let's get this last verse. Some of y'all said, I'm glad you gave us a cutoff on verse 17. Because we've been here for 23 minutes. 2 Corinthians 5. I didn't even think none of y'all were going to show up. Scott gave me good revelation. I was worried, man. I was sitting here, and I was looking in here, and I was walking out there, and I went, he's looking at me, he goes, what? I'm like, man, ain't nobody here, just four of us. I was like, man, thinking like, what am I going to do with four? He goes, what's wrong with you? He goes, it's 2:38. It was 6:38, right? 6:48, thank you. He goes, man, that's an eternity. Everybody can show up, y'all did. Thank you. I was kind of like, what are we going to do? Give me verse 17. Therefore, and this is anybody can preach this. This right here, you're going to hear this again Sunday morning if you come here. This verse right here, okay? This is where I'm going to start, Lord willing, Sunday. Therefore, if, take your pen, underline, highlight, circle the word if you haven't already. If you've been in this church for more than 3 years, you've probably got that already because that's big for me. If is the banner. In this area right here, if is a very good examinator, right? It's always the word of examination. Good? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, so if you're in Christ, if, so you gotta do that examination. So you put on your gown, right? You put on your hospital gown, right? The one that don't close in the back. You're always doing this, right? The whole time I was in the hospital there, I was like this. What in the world? Why don't they make these things with more sense, right? Anyway, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. There ain't no doubt. There's something. It's brand new. Now, listen, I know this is very basic, and every one of y'all have heard this before, and every one of y'all went through this, but this is a good teaching place for you. Learn how to teach this. Because if you're going to run into people who are going to be claiming salvation or talking about salvation, if you're a new creature, that means you are learning how to do everything new. Right? When you get saved, really get saved, it's like you're learning how to do everything. Walk, talk, speak, eat, how to attend, how not to attend, how to walk. Everything's new. If everything isn't new, and it's not everything's new compared to the old man, it's everything's new. You're like, eyes wide open. You're like, what? Like, I remember, here, I'll give you one of the best new things that ever happened to me when I got saved. I got saved and went to church in the town that I used to party in. And I'm standing in that church and I go, I never knew this existed. I mean, I can walk in direction in a mile in every direction. I can take you to a pretty good place to hang out. But I never knew about this, right? I never knew about this church area. I never knew about these people. I never knew about this kind of fellowship. I never knew this kind of fun. I never knew this kind of situation, right? That was all new. I was all learning. Like, wow. Can I tell you, I probably told you this. Have I ever told you the first ministry I ever had? Y'all know what my first ministry was? Nope, that wasn't my first ministry. You know what it was? Oh, it was all spiritual. It was the best ministry I've ever had. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist, you know it? Say one word. Cigarettes. My cigarette ministry. That's so spiritual. We used to get to church early. We get to church early everywhere we went, right? 30 minutes early. I'm always like, come on, let's go. We drove 50 miles. Always early, always first one sitting in the parking lot. People live 5 minutes. I mean, you could see their house from the church. They wouldn't get there until 5 minutes till. But we lived in Chatsworth, Georgia. We were sitting in the parking lot an hour before. Nobody's there. So I'd get out and walk in the parking lot. And first couple times I did, I ran into some cigarette butts. And I went by them, and I was... people smoking on the grounds of God. I mean... who are these people? I mean, you're spitting on holy ground. God, judge these people walking around. Somebody needs to do something about this. He said, pick them up. I went, get behind me, Satan. Walked around one more time, come back around, I said, God. there's more on this side. Smokers in the house. Smoking right off the porch of God. I said, somebody needs to do something. Hear it again. Pick them up. Put them in your pocket. I know what I'll do. I'll put them in my pocket. And during the church service, I'll walk up there and lay them on the altar, God. That's good. That's real good, God. Picked up one, pick them all up. Well, all of them's good. That'll be effective. Pocket's full of cigarette butts. Just got my spiritual suit on. Can't wait till church service starts. Walking in there, God says, go in the bathroom, throw them in the garbage. Nobody's going to know if they're in the garbage. You know, that's what I do for you a lot. I pick up your mess, I cover it, and I put it in the garbage and cover it up and let nobody else know about it until you get better. So just take them in there and dump them in the garbage and shut up. Okay, God, but you know they're not going to get any help if you do it to them. That's my first ministry right there. And you know how embarrassing? It's new. Because you know what Kevin wanted to do? Look at this right here, boys. But then God reminded me, well, if we could take some stuff that you still do and just hold it up, that's all right, Lord. We'll just put these right there in the old wastebasket. All things become new. You learn how to forgive. You learn how to love. You learn how to minister. You learn how to do the simple things. Amen? And you're talking about that's good. That's good, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Listen, old things are passed away, but old things don't pass away all at one time, but they start to die off. I'm not perfect, but man, I am not who I was in 2004. I'm not who I was in 2005. I'm not who I was in 2008. I'm not who I was in 2010. But listen, some things are falling off. They're dying. They're in the process of dying. But praise God, you have to examine that and look at it and say, are they dying? Because if they're not, if they're flourishing, therefore, if, right there, you're if. Wait a minute, it's not dying. There's nothing new, and nothing's dying. Hey, have you ever, golly, I could stay here forever and preach this stuff. Remember when your stuff started dying, and it's not the stuff that everybody wanted gone. The stuff that you kind of liked. Right? God ever convict you about something that you like, that he didn't like, and nobody else really even knows if it's, it's a sin, but it's in the gray area. It's like that Karate Kid show. What is that thing called? Yeah. So I'm just messing. God, that do that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Scott. I apologize. He got it funny. He's like, all right, listen. Watch this right here. Watch. Something that's in the gray area for you, right? And you're sitting there, you're going, man, I don't know if I should. I don't know if I should. But God's sitting there trying to pull that thing out of your life. You know what I'm saying? He's sitting there trying to pull it out of your life. And you're sitting there, but I kind of like that. You know what I'm saying? There were so many. Man, we had a rule. I need to go back to this rule. I had a three-word rule. Three words. We're turning it. Right? We're turning it. Now it's like, Melissa's giving me the eye. It's too many words now, right? And I have to go over there and get the remote and go, I was trying to get to it. I couldn't get over the... I went the long way around the living room, over the couch and around the... Oh, gosh. This is Wednesday, right? It's Wednesday. Some of y'all right now are going, well, if we're going to do that, I've got to be real. Yeah, well, let's be real about it, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Whew. It's becoming new. We're getting closer and closer to heaven. That's the great thing about reconciliation. Christianity gets better with age, right? It should. Your relationship shouldn't be the same with Christ as when, if you're always talking about, like, I love people. I love people's salvation. I do. Tell about it. Talk about it. Talk about testimony. But if the only testimony you've got is, back in 73, back in 2000, back in this, you know, what did God do today? What did he do yesterday? What is he going to do tomorrow? Amen? Things are becoming new. Amen? I love people's testimony about their salvation. I do. Tell it. But praise God and say also, He's in it today. He did something for me today. He loved me today. He encouraged me today. He forgave me today. He blessed me today. Let's all stand up. Did y'all get anything out of the Word of God today? Are y'all glad you made it on Wednesday despite? Anybody have a despite in here? I did. I had a couple of them. Rain was one. Aggravating day. Fog. Yes, fog on the way over here. Darkness. Then it was numbers for me. I was like, man, these numbers. But right now, guess what? I feel pretty good. Amen? If you ever get to the house of God, get in the Word, get into worship, God will do His thing, right? Go out better than we came in. Be praying, please. Be praying for Sunday morning, 17 to verse 21. I'm hoping that's where we're going to stay. That should be big. That'll be a big service in here. That's salvation right there. That's a very good place for young people to look at, not just young people, anybody who's not saved, to look at themselves and Christians to look at. So I'd encourage you to pray some between today and Sunday that God would use the rest of this message to bring more people to salvation and more people into relationship for Him and then ultimately serving God in their capacity. All right. Anybody got anything before we close? All right, good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that You reconciled with us. We're thankful that You came down and inclined Yourself to someone who couldn't incline themselves. We couldn't come up to You, so You came down to us. You washed us clean. You made us whole. You reconciled us. Lord, we're so, so thankful for that. Lord, we pray for the ones that are sick tonight. We pray for the ones that are ill. Pray for the ones that are locked up. We pray for the ones that are shut in because of COVID. We're praying, Lord God, we pray for our country. We're in a country and it's split right down the middle. Lord, it could go either way. We pray for both sides. We pray for a peace that passes all understanding. We pray for protection. We pray for our military. We pray for everyone who served in the military. We pray for first responders, police, government, everybody that's in charge. Lord, ultimately, we worship You and we thank You because You're ultimately in charge. And we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins. In His name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all. Come back. Whew.